preached a message entitled Voices, and I picked back up on that message today in a part two entitled Voices, Part Two. We look again at this important aspect. What voices are speaking into your life? Throughout our day, throughout our week, multiple voices are entering into these ears and finding their way into our heart. And the thing that I find amazing, some voices we're going to hear whether we want to or not. But many of the voices that enter into our heart are voices that we have aligned ourselves to. It's almost like a funnel. You take a funnel and you place it in a jar because you have a purpose of filling that jar up. Same thing is true. The voices that we reach for, either by our smartphones or our remote controls or our choices of who we hang around in fellowship with, those voices enter not just on the surface of who we are, but they find their way into our heart. See, our heart is built by the words that enter it. You can look in the countenance of a child and know if that child has been nurtured with positive words. You can look into the eyes of spouses and see, are words nurturing or are words being detrimental? Voices matter. Within all of our hearts today, there are lingering echoes of what people have said to us. The words that have been building live on, and the words that have been negative to rip and to destroy have a tendency to echo within the cavity of our heart as well. Be careful who you listen to. Words will change your character. Now, last time we talked on this topic, we looked at the various avenues that words enter our lives. But it is up to us, through the strength of God, to be careful who we allow to communicate to our heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 tells us this. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. Another translation tells us to guard our heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. What lives in our heart has come from an external source. God speaks to us, but God wants us to align ourselves to hear from Him. But there are many other voices that are speaking into our lives. The quality of our life is determined by what fills our heart. I heard this topic or this description the other day called fallen static. There's so much of what enters our minds, so many messages that are communicated to us, and if you had to sum it up and bring it to its quality, it's nothing more than fallen static. And I find it interesting, it might be static that we want to hear, because we all have things that intrigue us. We all have voices that we relate to and like to hear from. In all of our cars and all of our smartphones, there's particular channels that we have associated with. What is the authority of these voices? And if we have to be very honest, how much of it is simply fallen static that is entering our lives? What voices are speaking into your heart? again, we choose the channel, and I find this as a very interesting term nowadays. It's no longer you're turning to antennas always to listen to things, but a new term for receiving voices is called streaming. You've heard that term, haven't you? What is streaming into our heart? Only one voice is the substance and sustainer of life. God has provided the greatest voice of all to guard our hearts and to build our character. Do we believe that? There is a voice that stands above every other voice, a voice that calls out with authority for us to filter everything that comes our way. And his voice is the voice of God. Jesus describes it this way in John chapter 6, verse 63. Look closely at this. It is the Spirit who gives life. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of what? Of life. So life has an entrance. It has a dwelling long before it has steps. It is the Spirit who gives life. And then Jesus follows, the flesh is no help at all. Fallen static, voices that are communicating their message to us, changing the character of who we are. How much of those voices are flowing out of the fallen static, which Jesus makes clear, the flesh is no help at all. Then he goes further. Jesus speaking, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So here we see a clue. If we want life, we must align ourselves to the right source of life. And it's not just an agreement of faith that says, I believe in God. It's a communication that wants to happen from the beginning till the end. Just because we've moved into faith does not give us all that life wants to give us. There is a message that comes from the source of life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Though it entertains me, it intrigues me, it does a lot to feed me. But Jesus says, granted, you like to hear some of those things. Your interest is sparked by some of those things. But just please remember, they're no help at all when it comes to the substance and the fullness of life. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And the question would be, what voices filled us this week? And what was the fruit of what the stream brought to us? Did the voice, the words of Jesus, which are spirit and life, have the attentiveness of our ears in any way? For if the words of Jesus are distant from us, that which is nurturing our heart is taking us further from the purposes of God. It's tough. We live in the information age. We live in the time where words are plentiful, voices are plentiful. The words that I have that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. This next verse I want to look at, and we're going to spend some time here today. George Cush did a wonderful job last week bringing his life verse. And George, I witnessed, the devil didn't want that message to come forth. But what a powerful message. You had me a little worried, though, George, before you got up, because you had one difficult week. I know you did. And even in your eyes when you were walking through those doors, I sensed the struggle was still there. But as soon as you got up here and brought the word, the Spirit of God spoke through you in a powerful, in a clear way. And yes, George, you do have a life verse. And it spoke to all of us here last week. This is not part of that series. We have two more parts that are coming. We have Drayson's going to be bringing one in the months, a couple of months ahead. And then your baby, who I know is tired, George Parson, he's going to be bringing his life verse. But if I had to say one of the life verses for me is found here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Because this verse opened my understanding of how much I needed God's word. And we read, beginning in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Can you say this with me? The living word. The living word of God. For the word of God is living and active and full of power. And this is from the Amplified Version. And it begins to bracket to give more depth of understanding of the original language. And it says this again. For the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. Now, I want to ask you, as we get older, sometimes we don't feel very operative. We don't feel very energized. We don't feel very effective. And we go through times where everything in life is trying to come against those strengths. But God has reminded us, if the voice of His Word can enter us through the willingness of our alignment, taking that funnel and saying, God, speak, because I know what you have to say is alive and it is active. I'm not just going through a history lesson here, God. You are speaking to me with living words that are operative, energizing, and effective to my soul. The voice of true life, abundant life, and eternal life awaits us when we encounter the Word of God. Now, I'm going to get in trouble mentioning this. But I'm going to mention it. You may be like really, really into that series that you binged on maybe yesterday. Right? And it may have you very intrigued. But I tell you this, it will fade. Because that series is going to end. Right? No matter how popular it is, eventually it's going to what? End. It will not change your soul. It might in negative ways, but not in positive ways. It will not feed you with eternal life. It is not operative. It is not energizing. It is not effective for our soul. Not saying you can't watch some of your series. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need the living Word of God to come and encounter us. We got to have it. We got to have it, for when we do not have His Word, we are inoperative. We are sitting on the sideline, not experiencing the things that God wants us to experience. What is it like for the breath of God to speak? It's like opening the Bible, saying, Holy Spirit, open your word to me so that I may see and understand your heart. I don't want to be inoperative. I don't want to be powerless. I want to be filled with power. And so many of these voices come to drain me of power. I don't want to be ineffective in this short life that I live. I want to be effective. And effectiveness comes from the voices that we attune ourselves to. And the voice of God is found in his living word. Verse 12, we go further about this living word. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit. And then in the Amplified, it explains it this way: the completeness of the person. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It moves deep within us to make us bare, to expose the soul and the spirit. Many people choose to live a soulless life, but they still have a what? A soul. But the flesh is what's communicating, blinding them to the fact of their very soul and their very spirit. As Chas mentioned earlier today, how amazing it would be if our dimensions would open up and we could see the dimension that we do not see right now. It's here. It's all around us. How amazing would that be? We'd probably be all huddled up under a chair somewhere if we saw. But we can see the soul and the spirit when we are laid bare by the double-edged sword of the Word of God. It has that ability to open us up. Verse 12 further. Let me start at the beginning. For the Word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. Those are powerful words. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, the completeness of the person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature. When the Word of God is respected as an authoritative, living word that is divine in its origin, divine in its application, when it's read with faith to believe that God is wanting to speak and open it to us, then we see that sword laying bare again our soul and our spirit, and then moving even deeper to the joints and marrow. It gets down to the core issue of our nature. How many times have voices lied to us about our nature? A lot. I heard someone say the other day, where do people build their philosophy of life? Where do most people build their boundaries or their philosophy of life? And I heard someone say, most people aren't going to the library checking out Socrates and all of these ancient philosophers. I mean, some people are. I know George probably has a lot of it memorized. But we're not, as a society, most people aren't running looking for the philosophers to tell us about life, by average. And we have some with these IQs that can handle it. where is our society, the voices that we live around, where are they going to build their philosophy and to examine who they are? Art, media, entertainment is where people build their philosophies. The current flavor. Who's the flavor? Who's the artist, the recording artist that's the flavor? Who's the popular novelist? What's the popular movie? What's the popular series? Life is formulated. Philosophies are formulated in by these voices. And without the Word of God laying bare our soul and our spirit, our deepest nature, we fall prey to these voices. And we went through that whole list a few weeks ago. But the one that I tune into, that I nod my head to the most, is the one I'm listening to what? The most. And is the one who is influencing my understanding of who I am. You know, one of the things that scares me, I'm just going to touch on this a minute. Be careful being political. Be careful. Because we know how to get political, right? Be careful who you listen to. Because some people listen to politics more than they listen to God's perspective. Some people form their character and their yea and their nay of what's right and wrong by what? Who they associate with. I'd rather be independent upon God, than I would be to sign my name to either party, to be honest with you. Because man goes astray, God will never go astray. And his voice will never lie to us. Politicians don't lie, do they? With a straight face and a smile, right? The Word of God comes and it begins to cut and lay open. When we get a check in our spirit about something, it's because God has allowed his Word to cut deep into matter that matters. For if I am not exposed and laid bare by the Word of God, I will live my life fooling myself, thinking that my way is best. For the Word of God is living and it is active. It will show deeply the nature of man by exposing the joints and the marrow, the very core of who we are. And then we see this, exposing and judging the very thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Let's look at that again. When the sharp, double-edged Word of God is open to our hearts, a voice that we listen to, it moves in and it exposes, points out, makes clear, and it judges the very thoughts and the intentions of what? But it goes even deeper than that. My heart. Oh, I can judge someone else's heart real easy. I can get mad at someone else's perspective really, really easy. But one thing I can't do without the help of God is take an honest look deep within my heart. Because, man, I'll build my case, I'll establish it, I'll walk it, and I'll be very, very proud of it. But that's when God's Word begins to open and say, no, Ned. That's not my attitude living in you. That's not my character that's living in you. Well, it's the character of the voices all around me. I got songs that are themed to what I'm practicing. I got friends that model it even better than I'm doing it. But it's not my heart. Expose, Lord Jesus, the truth of our nature within. That's mercy. That's called mercy. And when mercy lays bare the reality of that which lives in us, grace shows up and says, I got this. It's going to be all right. Remember what I said? The flesh is no help at all. And you just been listening to it and hearing it time and time and time and time again. That's one of my concerns. You say, Pastor, don't be messing with my radio. It's one of my concerns about choices of entertainment, of listening to radio, is the messages that are brought within. And any word that we have heard has not easily left us. It hasn't. In fact, I want to say, it's like the images that we see, they remain in this powerful thing called the brain. And these audible realities, that's why I think sometimes the voice can be more detrimental than the image. Because once that message gets in our mind, we paint it however we want. And secular music, you gotta seek God on this, is communicating a lot of voices. Just be careful. Just be careful. Expose and judge the very thoughts and intentions of my heart. The motive of my heart. The fallen static that has found a home within me. Align your heart to the voice of God. Proverbs 4:23, we began with. Church, watch over your heart. You're not alone in the process. You have a helper called the Holy Spirit, a counselor at that, that's with us 24/7. But a counselor to be helpful has to be what? Listened to, respected. You may have gone into therapy at some point and had a counselor, and Lord help us if they're being led of the Lord, that's great. But as soon as they touch that wrong button and that attitude rises up, we'll shut them down in a heartbeat. Somebody said, not me, Pastor. Yeah. There are people sitting at home right now that aren't going to walk back through the doors of a church because the button was pushed. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is a lot more consistent than your counselor. The Holy Spirit is a lot more consistent and persistent than the pastor that you listen to, the one who brings a message. The Holy Spirit will hang around. And then when we venture to where he doesn't want us to venture, love comes and reminds us, that's not for you. That's not why I made you. I didn't make you for that. Whatever it is. Again, the pouring of the voice into our ears is a choice and a channel of our own making. So when God has convicted us of an activity or an action, and we become repetitive in it, we know as soon as we open that lid, pour it out, we know if it's right or wrong by mercy. But the more we open it and pour it, the harder our heart becomes. Because there's a voice that we've exalted above the voice of the Holy Spirit. And in that action, we have failed to guard our heart. Watch over your heart. Proverbs 23. What voices are we listening to as a corporate body here today? What voices are represented in this house today that God would ask us to cut off? What voices are intriguing us because they're saying what our fallen nature once said, but not what the living Spirit of God once said? Voices are powerful. Again, they change our character inside, and character develops appetite for the rhetoric of these voices. Even to the point where they will get us to wear them on our clothes or on our bumper sticker. Or beyond that, within our attitude. What are these voices doing to my heart? What are they filling my heart with? I must watch over, I must guard my heart by the authority of God and by the help of His Word. God has a way, if we will only allow Him, to lead us to the right verses and open them to our understanding right on time. And then He says, watch over your heart, not in a casual way, not in a way of hit and miss, but watch over your heart with all diligence. With all diligence. And what does that really mean, diligence? Diligence means attention, alertness, intensity, quickness, consistency. Diligence means that it matters now that I respond to guard. For if I do not respond now, the changing of who I am will be in motion. Voices, they're all around us. We are the most connected generation ever to voices. And the variety of voices is endless in this day and time. Why do you think that's so? Because in the last days, evil would increase. And as evil increases, voices increase. You know, I gave up the other day when I was at the grocery store. And I said, looking at the lines, and more of the lines with the person are being pushed aside. And they're adding all of these lines with what? With screens. And I was like, I'm going to the person. And then I go back in, fewer and fewer. Don't go to Sam's Club. Don't do it. Or Walmart. And I walk in this store, and I got produce that needs to be weighed. And I said, well, can't beat them, join them. That's not the right attitude. But I said, And as I'm wrestling through trying to determine what variety of onion it is and weighing this different stuff, it dawned on me. That's another connect robbed from us and another screen put before us. For if I go up to the cashier and I got a bad attitude, she's got a way to kind of relate to me that, right? Or he does. I got to step out of myself a little bit when I go what? Some people say, I don't know, I just check my stuff and leave me alone, right? One grocery store I go to, well, how's your day? What are you doing today? Every time. I said, it's got to be in the policy book somewhere. And it's a challenge because sometimes I'm like, it's none of your business, right? But I appreciate the effort, because sometimes they'll say, oh, I see you're getting this item today. I say, that's really none of your business. But they're taught to what? To interact. What you making today? I say, I'm trying to make it out of here, put it in the bag. But as my attitude arises, why does that store have that policy? Because I know not everybody in that store is that chatty. It's in the book. Here's the thing. It brings me to a source of accountability. Screens have no accountability. You can do whatever you want behind a screen. You can be whoever you want behind a screen. But when we meet a person, that's when things begin to change. Unless we've just fallen so far, we could care less what our countenance does to others. Voices multiply, and they're not hindered by screens. They're increased by screens. When we diligently guard our heart and we come before God's word, we come before the person of God, who will speak to us, who will guide us, who will expose us and give us hope for who we should be and how we can be. Again, not in our power, but in his power. And how sweet life is when we know truth. How good it is for God to call us out in the attitudes that are calling us downward. How good it is to have a God who loves us enough to expose the very nature of who we are. Because in the operation of the Word of God, that is sharper than any double-edged sword, is surgery not for our demise, but is surgery for the abundance of life. But we got to get before his voice. We have to make it a priority diligently, with attention, with alertness, with intensity, with quickness, with consistency. The Spirit guards our quality of life. What is countering the fallen static in our life? Is there anything countering the fallen static in our life? For if God is not lifting his authoritative word to us, then we're buying into some stuff we don't need to be buying. Today, there's a spirit of godlessness increasing in our society. And you better believe the whirlwind that it is not stopped by the walls of the church. It has entered into the houses of God, to places where even songs that are sung are more about the worshiper than the one being worshiped. Be guarded by the spirit of godlessness, for its intention is to build its character in us. It will come with voices that are intriguing to us and hit all the buttons that make us want to open more of our ear. But the fact is, without the countering truth that exposes the fallen static, those voices will be what will mold us and make us until we find ourselves fully in the grave. One life on this earth, just one. And the voices matter. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. And that life is not just abundant life, it's our life, our choice life. The life that flows out of us is the clear consistency of that which we've allowed to get in. But God says, you don't have to sell out to the lawlessness of this world. You don't have to be filled with the flesh and live the bitter life. You can live the abundant life if you'll open your heart to my voice. Man. When God exposes stuff, it's a joyful thing. So Christians are all negative, and hateful. Not spirit-filled believers. For when God exposes things, he doesn't turn us into an angry person. He turns us into a person that understands love in its fullest degree. And nothing more loving to give someone than truth with the attitude of Jesus. For from it flows the springs of life. Our heart is built by the words that enter it. We need the supreme voice of God filling our heart each day. I'm going to ask if you're able today, if we can just stand to our feet as we bow in prayer and prepare our hearts to just continue to say, God, I want my ears, my heart aligned to your voice. So show me, God, ways that your word can be more urgent to me. And as I've shared this multiple times, it's not how much you read, it's that you read. We just were blessed with these daily bread devotionals that are sitting on the welcome table there. And what a blessing it is to have tools like that. But as you open those devotions, what I encourage you to do, go to the scripture first. Focus in on that scripture and ask, Holy Spirit, open your word to me. And as you read that devotion, say, God, what's in here that you want me to process? And what you'll find, that faithful minister that wrote those words, there's going to be things to encourage you. But you'll be surprised at the beauty of how it'll go deeper and deeper as the Holy Spirit opens that word of life to you, the living word of God. As we have started this new year, 2020, and I know so many people look at that, 2020, greater vision. There's so many things that can be applied to that. And as I had mentioned to you earlier, the voice, the power of the voice is tremendous vision. For it lives deep within. It's beyond that one-dimensional picture. And it's layers upon layers of clarity from God. What will be different this year in how we relate to God and know God through the power of his living word? Will there be any difference? That's the first thing to start with. For if there's no difference and there's dryness and distance, then God must touch us to show us the importance of his authoritative voice, his word. Denominations will lie to you. Men will lie to you. In fact, men are going to get it wrong. That's just the way men are. Even in that full intention of wanting to honor God through books and through sermons, we'll miss it. That's why the authoritative word is there to keep us in step. We're going to come to places where we disagree in doctrine. Those disputable matters should not be our soapbox. For we're not going to agree on everything. But we agree on this, God has something for you in His Word that is going to be life-giving, abundant life, eternal life-giving, if you and I will attune our ears to Him. Father, we ask as we trust in You, show us how Your Word can become more diligent. We can become more diligent in Your Word this year to guard our hearts. In Jesus' name we